Hi, this is Garrett from ExtremeFlyer.com. Make sure to tune in each Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the RC Radio Network Air Show program. Always the best in interactive RC talk.
Welcome to the RC Radio Network, the Internet's only live aviation broadcast where you are one of the guests. Join us in our discussions of hobby-related issues and reviews of the latest RC products. Please confirm your seat belts are latched, your props are balanced, and your batteries are charged. Your mind, keep that open as well. And now, the RC Radio Network is on the air.
Well, welcome aviators. Welcome to Air Show. Thanks everybody for joining us tonight. Today is Tuesday, August the 30th. Tonight's show, just like we do each week, is broadcast live from the Mercury Studios. And my name is Cliff Whitney, one of your hosts for tonight's show. It's the last day of August.
It is. That's summer. Exciting, eh?
It's kind of cool, actually.
Ooh, I know. Summer's almost over.
It was cool this morning is what I meant.
Ba-dum-bum.
It's still hot now, though.
It's still hot near Georgia. That's
I've got the studio, you know, with the lights on in here and stuff. It gets hot in here. And David's having his laptop or my laptop propped up on your laps on fire, isn't it?
Yeah, in Katana.
Hot dog, too.
Man. Hey, Air Show is a weekly production of the RC Radio Network, and I and all of us here in the studio are certainly happy that you have taken the time out of your schedule to hang with us tonight a little bit for what we call is a kind of a worldwide club meeting going on.
Gee, and all this time I thought we called it a drunk fest.
No, actually, I'm good tonight. I've got some Dasani here.
You're drinking water.
I am. Oh, fired up, man. Fired up. We got topics I'm interested in tonight. I got to pay attention.
There you go, folks. Tells you a lot about what Cliff normally thinks of the Air Show.
We've got a new studio picture Larry's going to push up right now. And Larry is running the soundboard tonight. Lord, help us all.
Yeah, it's back to the soundboard again. I tried to get Cal to do it, but, you know, he wouldn't do it. So what can I say?
Ledford's on. He said he was on vacation. I don't know where he's at. I don't see him out on the chat.
I think he's probably got a lot going on, but that's beside the point.
He probably does have a lot going on. Mr. David's with us tonight. How are you doing?
Doing fine.
You over there?
Doing?
Laptop warm enough?
Yeah. I'm sitting here looking at a cool design.
Are you? Cal State's with us. You all right over there, man?
Yes, sir. It's great.
Very good.
So enthusiastic.
Remember,
tonight.
You got to talk right into that mic when you're
Jiggy tonight.
You're getting jiggy, Cal.
We've also got Paul and Ruth with us tonight, which we will introduce in just a little bit. But I'm excited about the fall.
You are?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it means it's only a couple of months away from my ski trip.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
It means that...
It means the Christmas season is almost upon you in the retail business.
I'm excited because there's two hand launch contests left for this summer. And we'll talk about those in a little bit. And then, we do have a lot going on tonight. And as Larry's running pictures tonight, oh, my gosh, that's a nice one. Miss America's on the screen.
Yep.
And
that's a lot going on.
It is a lot going on. Very nice picture. Again, that's mybombshells.com. It's a site and images and a marketing group put out by Aero Marketing Group. Got great shots. You should go over.
I never knew the prop detail looked
check
like
them
that.
Got really nice prop deal.
I'm building one of those right now.
Hodge, I was going to say, you know, I'm sort of worried about you there, buddy, because, you know, I think.
I'm going to have to go look up the detail for the plane.
Yeah.
Good show tonight. David Klein and some members of the USA F3B World Team are with us tonight. Paul and Ruth are with us tonight. We're going to talk about some very cool new USA-made aircraft. I think all you guys will like that. And
What are you doing?
What is that over there? I don't know what's playing. It's definitely not me.
Are you showing a YouTube video again?
It's not me. I got all my volumes down. Oh, I know where it is. It's coming off of this other machine. That should be down anywhere. I'd have feedback on it. Hey, I got some world news for you tonight, if Larry can bear to pry himself away from the picture on the screen.
I am having a really hard time with the airplane. It's the P-51. Come on.
If you've listened to some of our shows in the past, you know that I'm a big fan of AeroVironment.
Yes, sir.
And today they launched a new system called the Shrike Vertical Takeoff and Landing.
I'm trying to find the picture here.
It's
there it is.
S's. You've got to learn your ABCs if you're going to sit in that chair.
Oh, how does Ledford do it?
He doesn't speak.
He learned it because he got tired of me yelling at him for so much, much time. Anyway, so this is pretty cool. It's a of course, vertical takeoff and landing, and they call it perch and stare capability.
Yeah.
It is.
It's called shoot down capability.
Are you
familiar?
No, I think they're using this for reconnaissance.
Just recon?
Yeah. It enables the frontline military and all the non-military missions requiring vertical launches and landings without additional infrastructure. It's basically a quadcopter. Which is in a lot of the shops out there, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But AeroVironment is very cool. They've got a common ground control system which works on all of their stuff. DARPA funded this. Remember last week we talked about DARPA?
Ooh. What doesn't DARPA fund?
I don't know. Everything that has to do with that type of stuff.
Well, they're doing all kinds of strange, weirdo stuff.
You can find out more about this on, of course, AeroVironment site. And also, even though this is not a stock tip, hit there on the NASDAQ. It's AVAV. Very nice.
No plug.
Very nice. Go check it out. Gamble at your own risk. But it's
gamble at your own
company.
Risk. That's right.
Hey, the Park Zone Spitfire is shipping.
The Spits are shipping.
After a long delay, these things are is out. Looks cool. We expect them in the shop tomorrow. I actually started shipping some back orders today.
Are you getting them tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, I know where I got to go on lunch.
Yeah, real nice.
David, stay out of here.
Look at the detail of the dude sitting up Huffle in the canopy and all.
Yeah, I know. It's Bader. That's what I can say. It's John Bader.
And, and it has electric retracts, just like the 47.
Oh,
they're optional, though, aren't they?
But they are optional, but it really adds a lot to the plane.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what you say.
Another new release that came out this week is, you know, the Blade SR, which is the middle of the line before you get up to their 450 line. They've released a new one. From Blade. It's an SR-UH-1.
Wow.
Which looks pretty cool. I think it looks real cool. I'm looking forward to
Scale Bird.
Yeah, that's not going to be out until around mid-October or so.
That's about
teasing us.
That's a kind of a little below a 400 size.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a motor on the tail.
Nice.
So.
That's blue. I see the blue thing.
Yeah, see how the whole front of it pops off with magnetics and stuff?
Wow, nice.
Yeah, looking, well thought out.
Looking forward to that.
Novotny will be here in a minute.
That's right. Yeah. He'll have 47 of them on order before you know it. He's not a scale guy. Giveaway. Right. What are we giving away?
Hey, I just wanted to put a reminder up, even though you got it right up on the screen, that our monthly support giveaway is in full swing. We will award this the first show in October, I believe.
A Carbon Z Scimitar.
And you're doing the flight test.
I'm doing the flight test.
I'm pretty excited.
It's going to be a good one. So tell us how to enter there, magic one.
That's right. I forgot about that part. All you have to do is no purchase necessary to enter, just like it says on the little promo up there. You can send us a self-addressed, or not a card, with your name and address information on it.
A napkin.
And
a
napkin works fine. I would put the napkin in an envelope and say that it's for the Scimitar. We'll put you in the contest. Or better yet, you can make a donation to the RC Radio Network. And we like those. It helps us stay on the air. And for every donation you give us, we will give you a like entry. So if you make a $3 donation, you'll get three entries in the contest.
So we expect you all to enter hundreds and hundreds
of
times.
I'll tell you what, last month we took in a whole lot less than it cost us to give away that nice E-Flight 25.
You're telling us that we didn't get enough
donations.
I'm telling
you that the odds are pretty good that you
that you're going to win.
And since we can't enter, they need to enter double for us.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's an idea. That's how we can win that. Who can I get to enter? I knew there was a way around that rule somehow.
I'm going to start dialing up some of our guests here to get them on the line because I don't want to wait.
You don't want to wait?
No.
I thought we were taking a quick break.
We are going to take a quick break. And while I'm taking a quick break, I'm going to pull these guys up online
Look,
a little
for
bit.
For once, I'm actually paying attention to the script.
You are. You're doing really good.
Yeah, I have to
push
pictures.
So what image do you push up for break?
I just did.
Here we go. We're going to break. We'll be back in just a second, guys, about a minute and a half.
You're listening to Air Show, a live aviation broadcast where you are one of the guests. Air Show will return after a word from our sponsors.
Jack here, letting you know that beer, you know, it's the best damn drink in the world. And I think I'll have a couple this Tuesday night while I listen to the Air Show on RC Radio Network.
Tired of having to take a pair of pliers to get the top off of your glue bottle, only to find out that the inside is dried up? Mercury adhesives simply outperform. On sale now at your local hobby stores.
Hey, this is Al with RCSpeak.com. When I'm reading posts on RCSpeak.com, I like to listen to the RC Radio Network.
If you haven't visited Dubro.com lately, you're missing out. You can view and print our aircraft and car catalogs, which include over 1,200 products. No more waiting for your new catalog to be delivered by mail. Get the most up-to-date new product information available anywhere. Use Dubro.com as your hardware and accessory reference guide for your next project. You can even search for a hobby shop or buy online, courtesy of the Shopatron dealer network. So whether you're into planes, cars, boats, or helicopters, check out Dubro.com today.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Thanks for hanging with us tonight. Some guys out there said that the live page wasn't up. I think our audio man over here pushed the wrong button again.
No.
It's the one that says
Greg.
Normal and live should always be on the live.
Dang,
so if you're
man,
not
Greg.
Seeing the video feed right now, pick your refresh button, and it'll pop back up, and you will just catch me beating on Larry's head over here for pushing the wrong button tonight.
Oh, you know, it's these rookies.
You did a real good job.
I was trying to get Cal to do it because then he'd get beaten up.
Yeah,
but he didn't want his 15 minutes of fame ruined, so there you go.
All right. You're hanging with me. All right. Let me push this up over here. That computer's up. David, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here. How you guys doing today?
I'm
you hear me
doing,
okay?
Yeah, we are. We are doing great. Just wanted to make sure I've got you on there. Hey, before we do that, though, I do want to thank our sponsors real quick. If it wasn't for the support of everybody, our viewers out there and our sponsors, Air Show would certainly not be possible. I especially want to encourage you to pop over and check out all of our industry experts that are supporting us, extremeflyer.com. Altitude Hobbies is a new one. Go to altitudehobbies.com. Check them out. That's one of Garrett's. You'll like it. True RC, rcspeak.com. You heard a little bit about them as we were going to break tonight. rcdude.com. What are you laughing at over there? You're following the chat, aren't you?
Yeah, they're getting crazy.
Crud Cutter Cleaners, our buddies, which is sitting right here on top of my desk. You'll see it. We have it. We actually cleaned some of the studio with it.
No, we cleaned the studio?
Yep. And, of course, our friends over at Dubro, which Larry has his picture pushed up on the screen right now, which is cool. I want to encourage you all to visit them, and as well as their Facebook pages. There's a lot going on out there online right now. And
a lot going on?
If you have a chance, don't push that picture up. If you have another chance, pop over and let them know that you saw them and heard about them on RCRN, and you appreciate their support out here.
'Tis good to be king.
Hey, tonight we're going to talk about F3B. And I know David gets all excited. David on the couch anyway gets excited. This is the Formula One of sailplane model classes. And for those of you out there, this is the high-tech class of sailplanes. Fantastic stuff. The contests are a tremendous challenge. It's really thrilling to watch. And the USA F3B World Team was selected back in November 2010, and they're going to represent here the U.S. here in China coming up really soon.
Wow.
Coming up real soon. So tonight, I'm really happy to have some of the team members with us on Air Show, and want to give a start with a warm welcome to David Klein. David, I know you're out there, and welcome to Air Show, man.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it, guys.
We're, as you can tell, we're discombobulated tonight. My sound guy's gone.
What?
Well, this is
what am
this
I
is
chopped
awesome
liver?
For me.
No wonder Birdman's.
We're having a real good time. I'm going to, as we're chatting here a little bit, I'm going to click on this thing and I'm going to see if I can bring Gordon up online. A B C D E F.
You're discombobulated because you haven't figured out how to use Skype.
I'm
going to
add him and we're going to make a quick call and see.
Techno Wizard.
So this is real cool for me. I haven't seen you guys live before, so watching the video feed and seeing the gliders on the wall and all that, I got all kinds of new questions.
I can tell you that it's
David's all dancing.
It's magic that it happens every week, but it somehow seems to.
It's called Leinenfelger, and it's really good, and it works good. Yeah.
While I keep trying to get Gordon on the line, tell us a little bit about yourself, David. Where'd you grow up, and how'd you get into flying?
Well, I grew up in Northern California in the Bay Area in San Jose, kind of the heart of the Silicon Valley, and And my dad actually taught me to fly when I was a little kid. Some of my earliest memories are him going out to learn to fly, and he crashed a couple of good models when my mom and I were actually scared of him learning to fly. We learned to go to a movie about a half hour after he left the house to go fly because, you know, in the early 80s, you had to really build the kit. I mean, you had to really work at it, and they were still expensive, and then he'd go crash it because he wasn't being buddy boxed yet. And then after three or four airplanes, he finally hooked up with a power club in Santa Clara, California, and got buddy boxed. And he taught me to fly about when I turned six or so, and I can remember soloing at the gas of the nitro field when I was eight. And then you guys have had the guys from SCCMAS Tomcats on before out there.
Yep.
And I was a member of that field when I was 12 and 13, stuff like that. I mean, we're very active and all that kind of stuff. But we did a lot of slope flying, too, around the Bay Area and out near the Dumbarton Bridge at Coyote Hills. And then my favorite spot was Sunset State Beach out there on the coast just south of Santa Cruz.
God, you know that.
They're killing me.
I've been there.
To have somewhere to slope like that for us guys back east is just, that's bad for us.
It's really bad for us.
Hey, I think I was able to get Tom up. Tom, have I got you with us?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. Thanks for joining us on the air show tonight. Everybody, Tom Kusling, another one of the members out there, going to China, guys. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I've never been to Asia. I'm really excited about it.
I think you're into some really good. We're going to talk about China in just a little bit, and I'll tell you some of my feelings and thoughts from being over there several times. But David, you're also an aerospace engineer. You're a nerd.
You know, I straddle that line. I'm definitely a nerd at heart. You know, I try to be as social as possible. But yeah, I'm an aerospace engineer. I do composite structures for General Atomics.
Yeah, I had read about that and know from some of the contests that I've been at. So you're designing some of the really nice toys out there.
Yeah, you know, some of the big expensive government toys that, you know, you were showing some of the air environment stuff there, the perch stuff, and I think Dave talked about shooting stuff. Well, ours are the aircraft that shoot stuff.
Ooh. He's really a rocket scientist, David.
A rocket science.
He's a true rocket science.
Tom, tell everybody that's listening. There's quite a bit online right now. I'm seeing about 720 or so. Where are you from, Tom, and how'd you get into flying?
Well, originally I'm from Waltham, Massachusetts, and then I spent about 15 years living in Pennsylvania, and then in 2008 I moved out to San Diego.
And you following jobs out there, or are you following the sloping?
No, my wife actually got a postdoc position at UCSD, and she said that she wanted to live in California and not Pennsylvania. So here I am.
So you follow the boss. Well, that's wise. You're a wise man. I can tell already. So, yep, I think I've got Gordon coming up on the line right now, too. We're going to try that and see.
Oh, the wonders of technology.
Gordon, are you with us? Gordon?
Turn your delay down. Actually, he's got his delay on.
If you got your delay on, you will need to.
Well, it's perfect. Isn't that where you want
Tom, I got you back.
Yep, I'm back.
There he is. Hi, Tom. You're back. It's
Welcome.
Perfect.
Yeah, hang on 1 second now. I apologize. I'm going to get David back on.
I'm back.
All right, very good. And now I'm going to add one more. I'm going to add Gordon, and then...
Or he's going to try.
I am going to try.
Drum roll, please.
Here we go. Let's see if this will work.
Is Greg on the chat?
Greg Ledford?
He's been out there a little bit. He's probably laughing at us tonight since he's not on.
Hi,
it's
Greggy.
All Greg's fault. Yeah.
Hi, Greggy.
Well, for some reason, I'm not seeing Gordon. Well, let's carry on. I've got you guys up there. I apologize for that. Listen, I want to talk about F3B a little bit because that's why we're here. David, tell the crowd that's out there, what is F3B? Just what's it stand for and a little bit about what it does.
Well, F3B, it's the first world-class glider competition that FAI adopted back in the 70s or so, and it evolved a little bit. But the idea is supposed to be an overall glider contest. So they start off with duration. Just like you think of most glider contests, you launch, you fly for 10 minutes, you hit a spot at 10 minutes to the second. And then the second task is distance. And with distance, you launch, you launch and you race up to five other guys around a couple of pylons for as many laps as you can do inside 4 minutes. Now, the kicker here is there's a seven-minute working time. So you can actually launch, start doing a couple laps. It totally stinks. You land, and then when you launch, it restarts your lap count, but it restarts your 4 minutes too. And so you just get as many laps in as you can inside that seven-minute working window. And it's a real chess game to figure out which side of the course to fly on in the good air. You know, you want to fly in good rising air to stroke off as many laps as possible. And the last one is really racing planes around, and that's speed. So you launch and you do four legs as fast as you can. And speed is the only one that's not a man-on-man event. You do, it's a time trial. So you go in order of pilots and you launch and you fly as fast as you can, four laps. And it's timed. And the course is a 150-meter pylon course. And it's basically two parallel planes that slide off to infinity in both directions. So you can fly way far away from you, right over your head, or on the other side in distance. And in speed, you can only fly one side of the course for safety reasons.
And what everybody out there has got to understand is this is from a winch launch.
Yeah,
that's right.
And, Larry, push up the winch picture that you had over there so everybody can get an idea of what a winch is. Because a lot of folks that listen to the show or they hear me talking about sailplanes, we talk about hand launch a lot. But they're unfamiliar with winches, and they'll see these things laying on the ground. So
winches, aren't those the things that serve beer?
No, oh. Behave over there. You just look at the pictures. Just look at the pictures.
Hey, come on. I know every time you guys saw a hand launch for the first time, you were blown away by how high some guy just threw a plane in the air. You expected him to throw it like a javelin and get 40, 50 feet, and, you know, he threw it up 200 feet if he was a good thrower and went, holy shit. Excuse my language.
It's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Now, with a monofilament launch, we're using a really regulated system. So they actually tell you how big a battery you can use and how much resistance the total system has, so how much current you're allowed to run. And so everybody's got the same amount of power to work with. That's a lot less power than like a Ford long shaft motor is for most of the TD winches you see out there.
Right.
But we use monofilament like fishing line, like real thick fishing line, and it stretches out kind of like your high start. Well, since you're launching off this stretched out rubber band, basically, we zoom between 800 and 1,000 feet, depending on conditions.
Holy cow.
So it's quite a launch. It's about double what a TD launch is.
You buy a lot of line trimmer string, do you?
Just a lot. I usually have 10 miles sitting in my garage worth.
Wow.
And, David, I know you're out there. All of these winches are exactly the same?
Now, they're all regulated to the same power. But, you know, you can build any winch you want. There's got just a few rules on it. On the motor can only be 1.1 kilowatts. And the total system, including the battery, has to be 23 milliohms. When we basically tie a big strap to the winch drum and lock it in place. And then you measure the current and the voltage, and you know you get what the resistance is of the system, and you have to have at least 23 milliohms of resistance. So power-wise, it's way down from a normal TD winch, but you do it so much more efficiently that you launch real
That's
high.
That's fantastic. I think I just saw Gordon pop up online, so I'm going to give him a call here. I'm bringing him online right now. So that's fantastic. And can you just go down to the winch store and buy one of these things?
Well, you know, if you call Skip Miller Models, he's got some. I know they're a little on back order right now because a bunch of F3J guys bought them for the upcoming Team Selects. They're using winches this year for the Team Selects in a couple of months. And then Soaring USA also carries some. I think they're the only guys in the U.S. those two carry winches. The ones in the picture you see there are the winches from my team. They're Ober Flugmodel winches from Germany. And these are the one that Skip now carries.
Oh, very cool. And in the video that's playing going back and forth, we keep seeing these little things look like they have antennas stuck out of them. What are those?
Oh,
on the tripods.
These are the tripods we use to sight that plane in space that I said makes up the 150-meter course. Like I said, it's rather than being like a pylon, you go out and turn around. You can fly out, you know, 2 miles away from you and stroke laps over there if you can see it. And the idea is there's two planes in space that you're flying in between. So you cross the plane and that's a lap. You come back, you get a lap. You know, back and forth. And so these things that look like antennas are a bunch of carbon rods that are all lined up. And if you stand right down where they all line up, that's just a visual sighting device for you. So you can see they use those kind. We also make like teepees that'll string a couple lines of orange surveying lines, so you can line those up and sight the planes off in the distance.
And they also have audio, correct? I've missed that. Can you hear it every time you make a turn point? What was I hearing in some of these videos?
Basically, there's a turn judge is going to hold a beeper that goes back to the computer, and the computer will send off a horn. And so in distance, you're flying against five guys. They'll actually have five lights and five different horns that'll go off, as well as we have a speaker system that'll say Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo. You know, each time one of those planes makes a turn.
Very interesting. Gordon, I know you're out there, and I'm trying to bring you up on the line, but you've got some of your privacy settings set up so I can't add you to this conference call. So take a look at that, and I'll beam you back on when I see those get set up out there. Introduce me to the team members.
Well,
who's
myself,
on the team this year?
We have three team members on the screen right there. The Explorer is Tom Kiesling. He's our most experienced pilot. This will be his third time out. He's online. He'll talk to you there. Kyle Paulson finished first. He's our teammate. He's in kind of the North LA area. That's Kyle there with his two youngest sons. And he finished first at the team selects, and I was second. That's me in the screen there with my red, white, and blue target. And then Tom was actually finished fourth at the team selects, and Mike Lukowski finished third. Well, Mike decided he couldn't put his effort in this year. Things got in the way, and so Tom is traveling as the alternate. But Tom is a fantastic pilot. This is, like I said, his third time going. He's been twice to the F3J Worlds. He's our most experienced guy. And then our team manager is Daryl Zabalas. He was a team pilot in 2003 and has been a big dog in F3B for quite a while. And then we have three helpers coming with us. The first one is Gordon Buckland out in Florida. And the second is Glauco Lago, and he's in St. Louis, I believe. And the third is Tim Traver. He's paying his own way to come with us for the experience, and he's a very welcome addition to the team. He's a new gentleman, but he's here in San Diego and is practicing with us a lot. And we're really excited to have all these guys to support us.
Very, very nice. Tom, this is your third time on the Worlds or fourth time?
This is my third time for being on the team for F3B. I've been on two F3J teams, and I've also gone to one F3B World Championship as a helper.
Very nice. And just for those guys that listen, and tell them what the difference is in B and J.
Well, J is just strictly a thermal duration event, and J basically takes the thermal duration aspect to the extreme. F3J uses hand tow instead of winches.
Right.
And basically there's a 10-minute working time for you to get as much time as possible within that 10 minutes. So essentially you want to stay on the line for as short a time as possible so that you can maximize your flight time and then land as close to the end of the window as possible. And if you go over the window, you lose your landing points and you also get a 30-second penalty. So that is basically F3J in a nutshell. And, of course, that's all man-on-man.
Right. That's kind of cool. And you mentioned hand-towing, and just so they'll know, this is a couple of guys stretching that line, right?
Yeah. So, basically, you get some reasonably big guys that can run as reasonably fast, and they basically, you know, pull the hell out of the airplane. It's actually pretty exciting to watch a world-class F3J tow. It's not your old free flight hand tow that some people may traditionally think of. It's actually can be more powerful than using a winch.
Wow, so that's quite a statement, because to see something come off of a winch, especially with the filament line, is quite exciting.
To watch the bend in the wings is pretty exciting.
Exactly, exactly right. Well,
yeah, you won't see much bend in our wings.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Tell us a little bit about the wings you guys are flying. Is there a span limit or minimum?
No, there's no span limit. There is an area limit. But what's interesting is since the winch power is limited, we basically never approach that area limit. I don't even know what the area limit is off the top of my head. Just because the models will get too big for us to be able to launch effectively with our winches. There's also a wing loading limit, I believe. And again, we get close to that, but we don't really exceed it again because the winch power is limited.
So you can actually hold back on that thing and stall the winch even with the line stretch?
You can. Typically, we don't because that actually ends up overheating the motor, and that essentially reduces the efficiency of the motor when you do that. So we like to keep the motor turning at least a little bit. But yeah, if we really put our minds to it, we can stop the winch.
I guess if you're a real little guy, it could just yank you down the field if you don't let go of it, which would be...
It's interesting. Actually, being short is probably actually a good thing because you can actually get a better stance and, you know, really resist the line a little bit better. But, yeah, certainly you got to be careful that you don't try and hold too much.
I understand.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing I think that people need to realize is that it's always better to throw straight than to throw with a lot of tension and throw really crooked. So you want to make sure you throw within your means.
We had a bunch of the F3K team on a month or so ago before they went over to Sweden, and I know they were all packing up 5 and 6 and gliders to take with them. What are you guys flying multiple ships on these trips, or...?
Well, they allow us to check in 3. When the world starts, they can check in 3. These planes are pretty damn expensive, so I'm not bringing any extras as far as that goes. I'm bringing 3, and if something happened in shipping or during practice or they have a 2-day pre-comp beforehand, I'll borrow one of the helper's planes. But these models run right up close to $3,000 a pop before radio equipment. So they start, and depending on what plane you're looking at, you know, they start at between 1,500 and go up to 3,000, just like there's a large range in hand launch. But the top-end models are selling between 2,500 and 2,900 without any radio equipment in them.
That's good. I saw some questions out on the chat just for that. Well, it's quite a privilege to be able to get on the world team and then with a very, very spectacular destination like China. Have either one of you ever been over there?
No, this will be, I think, the first time for most of the people on the team. Gordon may have been there before. I don't remember.
Yeah, I keep trying to get Gordon. I apologize for that. It looked like we've got the map up on the screen right now, too.
Yeah, Kyle's been to Taiwan before, which sticks in his head on how long that flight is, but it's much further south. So I think our flight's going to be just slightly over 12 hours to get there. But it's my first time to Asia. I'm really excited about it. I know all the guys from Europe are bummed that it's not in Europe. You know, they're all the other countries there are used to it being very close to home and getting in a van with all their buddies and driving to it and bringing in all their equipment. And if they build their own planes, they bring their wing molds and they bring 20 batteries and all kinds of stuff. And this year they're on the same plane that we are, that they've got to front all the shipping costs and everything else to get there. So it's a much more level playing field, although it reduced the amount of competitors that decided to come.
So the floor gets a little more even with everybody making this same trip.
I actually think it's an advantage to us just because we're used to it. You know, we're used to fundraising to the level that we need to get there. And so we have that all in place. And, we have this fantastic huge community of soaring pilots and RC pilots that help support us get there. We have all these great sponsors that have been sponsoring teams, you know, year in and year out. And, it's going to cost us a little over $20,000 to make the trip out there.
Gordon, do we have you with us?
Yes, I'm here. How you going, guys?
I'm doing great. Sorry for the trouble getting you online. I appreciate you joining us tonight.
Thank you very much. It's actually my birthday, so I was a little bit late getting here, and then we couldn't hook up, but thanks for having me.
That's, man, I'd have been out partying on my birthday instead of hanging with us.
the rum is waiting.
Excellent. Oh, there you go.
Very nice. Where are you at right now, Gordon? Where are you living at?
Yeah, I live in Sanford, Florida these days. I'm originally Australian, but got my American citizenship on the 4th of July this year, so...
Well, right. Congratulations on that one.
And a lot of the pictures that we're seeing online tonight, Gordon, furnished from one of the, was it a qualifier down in Florida where we stole all these images from today?
It was really a fundraiser. We I've been dying to get some F3B action going after a long sort of hiatus from flying radio control sailplanes. And I came back to the hobby, and F3B was sort of non-existent in Florida. So, it was a really a fortunate thing to hook up with Mike Lukowski and Rito Fialka, and we got together and put the Gator F3B contest on in February, and we had a great support from a local power club that that helped us to get that contest together and make a success of it. And some guys came over from Germany, and the US team came over, and we managed to raise $1,500 for the team, and it was a really, really great event, and we're going to do it again next year.
Very, very nice. Very, very nice. Well, the I want to talk just a little bit about that. When are you guys leaving for China?
We leave September 15th at 1:15 a.m. out of LAX. You know, 2 weeks from 2 weeks and 2 days.
We're getting pretty close. And the place you're going, are you flying into Hong Kong or are you going straight into the mainland?
We fly into Beijing and then take an hour flight from Beijing to Jinan. And Jinan's like a half hour, 45 minutes from Lake Laiwu, where we're staying and where the contest is. And, man, the Chinese really pulled out all the stops. There's the CIAF, which is Chinese International Aero Modeling Festival, Fiesta, something like that. Gordon will correct me on that one. And they basically have this huge... We're one very small event and a really large thing they're putting on, and they want to put on an FAI World Championships every year in China, and so this is the first one. And so rather than the contest being completely funded by entry fees and so forth, they're pulling out all the stops because they want to make a really good impression on the FAI so they can hold, you know, even, larger profile events in the future. So they went out to a field out there, scope went out, and they took bulldozers, and they're building us a field that makes the Muncie 6x6 look tiny.
Wow. I was on Google Earth playing with it, and while I couldn't get real, real close, but the field, it did look fantastic. And somebody just mentioned on the chat, I said, out there, they don't need to worry about hitting a tree.
Yeah, well, I think they're talking about the video you're playing over there on the Ustream feed, and that's us flying in Cow Valley, which is like an hour northwest of Bakersfield, which is really cow pastures in the middle of nowhere. And it's kind of like our little glider heaven, except it gets, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere and it's ridiculously hot in the summer. But for most of us, there's no cell phone reception, and we go out for 3 or 4 days and hold the contest. And that's where I have the team select. So you forget all about life and go compete. And so right there, just finishing, was Tom Kiesling on his last run, throwing down like a 14-3 or something to win that round. 13-9. Smoking 13-9. Fast. I think that was his PB at the time. That means his plane is doing about 130 miles an hour in the straights and averaging around the course just north of 100 miles an hour.
And I think I saw somebody a while ago that wanted to know, what's the distance between the pylons?
150 meters. So that's like 140 yards.
So on a typical launch, how many laps are you getting?
Well, in speed there, you do four. So four legs. So it's kind of, most people think a lap is out and back. So it'll only be two complete laps. Mm-hmm. They say laps in F3B, and it means a leg just out is one and back is two.
And out is back in the other one then.
In distance, we probably average about 22, I would say. And then it really depends on the conditions. The world record is now 38. And I've seen 35. Kyle did 35 in Cal Valley there. 35 is hauling ass. I mean, it's doing 60 miles an hour for 4 minutes.
That is really, really cooking. So, Gordon, how many countries are being represented on the Worlds this year? Do you know?
We have 10 different countries, 10 different teams coming to the Worlds. It's probably a smaller number than in previous years, but I think it's a sign of the times and the cost of traveling to China. I think it's on the opposite side of the world to most places where we fly F3B. So I think probably Australia might be the closest to it.
Wow. Well, that I guess that's a good lead-in when you talk about the expense out there, because I know the team has been working really hard to raise money. You mentioned earlier about 20 grand it's going to take to get you guys over there. How's it going?
Go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things that are still going on, and we have probably the most important thing is a raffle that we've got going, and it's at, if we go to teamusaf3b.com, the guys can log on there and look at this fantastic raffle. We've got a whole bunch of sponsors, 65 or more prizes there that you can buy tickets in. And the draw is going to be probably about a week after we come back from China. But everybody's in there with a great chance to win some molded aircraft, or we could probably go through the list of sponsors, but it's a fantastic list of people that have supported the team this year, and we just need some folks to go and buy some more tickets to finish this fundraising effort.
Yeah, I was going to mention some of those, too. I'm seeing radios by Airtronics. And I'm seeing, of course, Hobby People's got a bunch of stuff in there. Horizon's been a big supporter with some JR radio, an 11X, a DX8, Radian Pro. Of course, Bob out at Soaring USA has got a tremendous amount of stuff I'm seeing on the hall. High Tech out there with an Aurora 9, some Chargers, some an Optima. Skip Miller Models has got some gym bags and a whole bunch of gift certificates. The list is tremendous for anybody that might want to get in and play on some of this stuff. Now is a really, really good time.
It's one of the biggest raffles I think you've seen out there. If anybody wants to have a good chance at winning this raffle, I think you need to get in and buy some tickets, because there haven't been that many tickets sold, to be honest.
That's. It seems like it always comes down to the wire. So all of you guys out there tonight, there's a whole bunch of you. I saw about 1,100 a while ago. Go over there and buy a couple of tickets. They're actually quite reasonable. Do you remember? Tickets are about $5, but you can get 20 for $50. And for those of you out there that want to get a really hot ship, you could buy 1,000 tickets for $1,000. That's probably pretty good odds.
That is pretty good odds.
That'll Hodge, give you a you fair putting chance of winning a bunch of prizes.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Go ahead. I really wanted to chime in on how great everything was there and how much we've been supported. One of the key things in there, we've got RC Sport Flyer magazine is donating a subscription to every $100 out there. You know, there's all kinds of stuff down to Atlanta Hobby really kicking in with Mercury Adhesives and so forth. Speaking of, I won a caddy or two in the F3K team raffle, and I didn't realize how cool that really was. You guys really have the top adhesives, man. The great bottles with little pins. You've got me sunk for life, I'll tell you that.
I appreciate that.
It's the caddy that you like. Come on.
Right.
Tell the truth.
Yeah. But one of the things that's fantastic is Gordon and Tom worked to set up a merchant account for all the FEI Soaring teams from now on. In the past, raffles have, you got to be able to sell online, and that usually means through PayPal. Mm. Well, if PayPal finds you running a raffle, they'll shut you down, freeze your funds. You'll have headaches left and right, and this has been a major problem for F3J and F3K teams in the past. Well, Tom and Gordon did all the legwork to set up a true-to-life merchant account so we could take visas directly. And I wanted to challenge everyone out there to say, hey, you know, there's some big stuff in the prize that no matter if you fly gliders or not, you'd love, like the JR-11X, the Airtronics SD-10G, and on some of the servos and on down the list. So my challenge for you guys out there is if you can freeze the merchant account with traffic, just, hey, $5 at a time, guys. We appreciate every little bit,
all right.
You know, and do your damnedest.
You know, David's sitting over here on the couch, and he's been lusting after some new gliders. So,
oh yeah, ask your questions, Mr. Hodge. Ask your questions.
That's right.
Get these professionals to tell you
what glider you've been. What glider have you been looking at? You want an electric one though? You're
Yeah. Well, I was looking at a Surprise.
Okay.
Yeah. F5B.
F5B.
But still, we need to fly 3Bs or 3Fs around here too.
Well, they fly a little bit over at the NASA Club. Yeah. You know, the guys got really big into it for years, and maybe there needs to be a resurgence.
Get the winch out
there.
I don't think Larry's going to haul it up for me. Send him through the field huffing and puffing.
What are you talking about?
So the website where to get tickets is teamusaf3b.com. And, Larry, I think you had a shot with a whole bunch of the sponsors up there on
it. I did.
Which hopefully can raise a lot of money for these guys. Are you getting close, guys? Do you know? Are you keeping tabs on?
We're keeping really close tabs, and we're doing really well. almost better than most years in the past. We got a real steady steady income stream and early stuff. But we're still about $5,000 short, and we've only got 2 weeks to go. So, you know, if we can raise another $5,000 or $6,000, that'd be fantastic. You know, our excess baggage fees going to China is going to be at least $5,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Wow.
And I know once you get there, going in, coming back, that the expenses are always higher than you anticipate. So,
exactly. We had a good question. They said, do you need to be an FAI member to fly in events?
That's a good question. And what do you guys say? Do you need to be an FAI member to fly in the events?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Ah. Okay.
So answered that. Very
not nice. Not in the U.S., but when you go to any European contest or world championship event, you have to have your valid FAI card.
There you go.
Very, very nice. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you coming on tonight. We're certainly going to pump this up, and we've mentioned it on the last few shows. Hopefully everybody out there will pop over and buy some tickets tonight and tomorrow.
And, all right, before you kick us off, you got to answer my question, which is yellow glider in the background with the black tips. What do you got there?
There you go. Yes, sir.
Believe it or not, that is the first Chinese molded glider.
Is that from RCM or RCRM?
No. It came from, it's called in Australia, it's called an Osprey. And I bought two of them. Well, the other one's hanging in the lobby. The yellow one you're looking at is full carbon, everything. Wings, tail, fuse, the whole bit. And unfortunately, my brother built the first one we had for us. We got all the equipment in it, and we never could get the thing to balance. And the company went out of business. I believe they called it a Zoom out of China.
Oh, yeah, I know which one that is.
And we bought them on spec to play with, had some good conversations with the company. They were going to rebuild a lot of molds and stuff, but they just didn't make it. So, but they look cool hanging on the wall.
Yeah, it does.
We might be able to get it to fly.
We can get it to fly.
We've got a pound and a half, close to 2 pounds of lead in the nose of the orange one out in the lobby.
Put a motor in it.
Yeah, and it's still a little bit tail heavy. My brother Bob flew it, which is he's a very good pilot, and he flew it. And he had to sit down on the ground after he got it on the ground and take a deep breath.
Wow. So ask him the most important question.
But, yeah, you got to answer my question. All three of you, guys, Marianne or Ginger kind of people?
Ginger.
Marianne.
Marianne. And Gordon?
Ginger.
Yeah. Yay, finally a ginger.
I knew Gordon was going to be a ginger guy.
All right,
guys, we're going to kick you off.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, guys.
I appreciate you taking the time, guys, and good luck over there. You're going to be posting on the E-Zone, letting us know what's happening?
Left and right, man. Gordon will chime in on this, but we're bringing extra helpers just so we get extra coverage.
Very, very nice. We'll look forward to it, and we'll be on live, and we'll be reporting and let you know. We're looking forward to it. All right, y'all have a good night. I appreciate you coming on.
Good job, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Bye.
Bunch of great guys.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you, there's some talent there. Really, really talent.
You think?
Real fortunate.
Oh, I couldn't tell.
Real fortunate to have a group like that going over and representing
the U.S.
You can
fly 35 legs on one toe at 60 miles an hour average
speed.
Isn't
that something?
Is that talent or what? I mean, it's a great plane.
Fantastic. So you guys, you really should help the F3B team get to China. The U.S., they've got a huge depth of talent like we've been talking about, which consistently produces top-performing teams to compete in the worlds, but they can't keep doing it unless we can help them get to these events. So these guys have worked really hard all year. So we really want to keep the U.S., competing at the world level, so your help is really needed to get those guys over to China. So Team USA, F3B.com. And, in spite of the dominance of the thermal duration contest all over the U.S., which is ones I like to fly in, and my brother spends a lot of time flying in, F3B, that's the Formula One. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not come off the winch and put it into cruise mode and look and thermal around for 10 minutes. These guys are hauling ass.
Yeah, they are.
And I think F3B is kind of undergoing a resurgence. It needs to be maintained, and according to do that, you got to promote the teams. And so very,
yeah,
very good.
I went and contributed today.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I know. You
see how you are? I knew it.
Yep.
You want one of those new gliders. All right. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to get Paul to move his way over and clip that mic on the other side. He's been over there lounging with his feet up.
Yeah, hanging out.
We are going to take a quick break. We'll be back in about 60 seconds, and I got some really, really nice new airplanes to show you guys. So hang tight. We'll be right back with more Air Show.
You're listening to Air Show, a live aviation broadcast where you are one of the guests. Air Show will return after a word from our sponsors.
Hi, this is Sean Spiker from High Tech. When I'm not flying multiplex airplanes with my Aurora 9 radio, I'm enjoying the tunes on the new RC radio network.
A few safety tips from AtlantaHobby.com. When thinking about RC model safety, don't be scared. Just be aware. Like any other potentially hazardous activity or sport, you can often reduce the risk of injury by practicing some basic rules for safe operation. Get trained to fly, and if you are already, learn about electrics. Wear protective eyewear when working on your aircraft. Models with props should always face away from you and anyone else whenever a battery is in place.
Had a little accident with your park flyer? No problem. Dubro Products manufactures a full line of replacement hardware for your electric aircraft. How about building your next airplane? Dubro's line of micro hardware is super strong, extremely lightweight, and is the choice of champions worldwide. Dubro leads the way in developing quality items like mini EZ connectors, micro control horns, mini wheels, micro pushrod sets, and much more. Your hardware is the lifeline of your aircraft, so demand the best. Demand Dubro.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Air Show, a weekly production of the RC Radio Network. Appreciate you guys hanging with us tonight. Hey, we got a lot of some new airplanes to show you tonight. I'm going to pop my headset off, but...
You're popping the headset off.
I am.
Are you kidding?
I am. I'm popping so I can move over there and help Paul a little bit. And Paul is from Hobby's Edge, and we had Paul on the show. When were you on the show last?
I think January.
January or so?
Somewhere around
there. Has it been almost
Christmas.
Almost a year. Larry, why don't you take that camera and just point it right there and let it and come pop back in this chair over a minute. I'm gonna walk over here with Paul and get him going real go.
Oh, fine.
So,
I wonder if I should bring that Pitts in here.
Oh, well, I'm going to go get the Pitts because the Pitts is cool, but I want to talk to him a little bit about this. And Larry's got that shot picked up, so I'm going to move these boxes over so I can move over there. So you were with RC Foam for a while, right?
Yeah.
But that's not your real job. Your real job is you're building parts and working with one of the major airlines.
Yep, sheet metal shop.
But you can go ahead, Ruth, pop across there. You do a lot of work with CAD, a lot of work with design, and you took the opportunity recently to buy your own equipment, right?
Yep, I did. I tried to continue on what I was doing at RC Foam on my own because they moved and relocated.
So you got a big... CNC machine?
Yeah, I do. I have a router and I got a laser.
And that's fantastic. Well, tonight, Paul's company is Hobby's Edge, so you guys can jump over there and check out Hobby's Edge. But I invited him tonight to bring a couple of his designs over and show us what all he's been working on. Some of these are going to be available exclusively through Atlanta Hobby. You'll see that coming up on our website in the next couple of weeks. And then Paul's got some other designs that, of course, you can find on... on his site, as well as a whole bunch of cutting services and stuff too, right?
Yep, sure do.
You got that laser.
Anything the laser and the router will do.
There you go. So to keep it going, tell us just a little bit about the equipment you've got, the CNC machine. What size it is and what all it can cut.
Well, what I got is it's about a 3-foot by 4-foot router. It's made out of that 80/20 aluminum, which is kind of like an extrusion type of aluminum. It bolts together, and then I'm using a standard, standard router for it, and run Mach 3. The building of it and the setting it up was a nightmare, because there's just so much. Because you've got to learn it's just like building a website. You got to learn the language.
Right.
And the language of getting into Mach 3 and the CNC, I was just about to blow my head off trying to get it all, but
I admire people that can write computer code and run a CNC machine. Because
kind of sounds like flat printer, eh, Cal?
All in all, I ended up running my machine on a game controller.
Really?
I programmed a rumble pad so now I can run my whole CNC router on it.
That's fantastic.
It's really neat.
Fantastic. Well, you brought some of the planes tonight to show us, and what have I got in front of me right now?
This is a Yak 54. It's a standard aerobatic airplane, and like I did the four main aerobatic airplanes out there.
Now, these are a little bit different than the normal foamies you would see on the street, right? They're bigger spans?
Bigger spans. These are very large, 45-inch. It's a whole 45-inch line, I call it, because, you know, a lot of people are liking the bigger foamies, so I thought I'd try it out. And they're real light, fly really good. Lot of wing. I like a lot of wing, so they'll float.
And you're building them out of not your typical 2 or 3 millimeter foam either.
No, it's 9 mil Depron.
And the colors are beautiful on this particular one. Now this one you did up by hand, right?
Yeah, all my prototypes I do by hand. I just kind of mix match paint schemes and come up with my own ideas that look good.
Right.
Something that's flashy.
Walk over there and grab that camera because I might need to get you to pan a little bit, David, if you would. I want to pan up and show the one up on the wall right behind Paul, if you will. You can crank on that, and then the zoom is right on top of the screen if you need that. One of the unique attributes you're going to see coming out on these aircraft, it's up on the very top of the handle or there, very top of the handle. There you go. You're an engineer. Top. There you go. Is that these aircraft are available in, they come painted right out of the box. So if you're an artist, yeah, you can still get one that's white. But a big benefit, I've always wanted airplanes that were painted and that came colored. And some of these are, and they're just, you're going to have the ability to get them that way, which is real nice. What are we looking at over your shoulder?
This is the Edge 540. This paint scheme was designed by my wife. It's kind of a mixture of a Red Bull type paint scheme. And then my wife came up with the idea of using Chinese calligraphy on the airplane.
Cool.
Which this one says strong wind. And it really was flashy. You know, it was her idea. I tried it. It looked really great. And people really take to it. They think the calligraphy looks really good.
Ruth, are you the artist in the family? You got an engineer and an artist?
You can speak, Ruth. It's okay. It won't bite you.
What I do is I take the plane. I let her look at it. She sees like on the S-Box, she sees the Thunderbolt. And here, you know, she came up
grab
with
the
strong
pits,
wind.
Okay.
So she comes up with really neat calligraphy.
And I like the wind sound. That's excellent.
And Ruth is in the studio with us, but she's being shy.
She is the model of Hobby's Edge.
I see that. I've been pushing her pictures all through here, so that's who you're seeing. And then these are the various planes that you have here as well.
That
we've been pushing out.
They are made in the USA, even though I have a Chinese model.
to keep up with the Joneses, right?
I put them in my email today, and I got 4 or 5 emails right back that said, what's this USA-made airplanes with the Chinese writing on? They couldn't figure it out, so I told them to tune in tonight, and they would find out the
Well, I thought about results. Doing an airplane that said made in the USA in Chinese across the wing.
That would be good. Then they need to export those back to China.
Right. Send those back in.
I'm going to set this on the ground because one of the new ones you have, I guess this is one of the newest ones that really impressed me, and you get a good size on this thing, is the new pits.
This was an experiment. I came out with about a 32-inch Pitts Python.
Which is what's up. We're pushing that image up on the screen on the left side.
Yeah.
So this is a bigger airplane of the same thing.
The 32-inch flew so well, and it just floats like a leaf. Unbelievably light. The structure that I put into the fuselage is so light, I thought I would try a big airplane and just see if it would incorporate itself into the bigger airplane. And this airplane here, without any electronics, just the landing gear, comes in at about 1.52 pounds, which is extremely light for this size of an airplane.
It's very light.
And that's with the gear. So it's the structure inside that makes it, you know, super strong and durable. You can push all over it. I mean, it's got bulkheads, foam bulkheads in it. It's built like a real airplane.
So let everybody know a little bit about this. You mentioned the structure inside of the plane. What are you talking about?
What I have on the inside is it's a 3 mil skin.
Hold that wing down a little bit, and if you look in that side of that screen right there, you'll see what David's seeing.
It's a 3 mil skin, and then inside there is a 6 mil structure. Basically what it is it's a 6 mil Depron that is routed out into a structured shape, like stringers and stuff like that. And what you do is you just spray bond it to the skin. And then you plug all these foam bulkheads inside the airplane together. There's just foam bulkheads all through it. And you plug it into the structure. And then when it's said and done, it's just super strong.
So it makes it really stiff is what it does.
Very rigid.
So it's like building a skeleton inside it, just like you would build a Boss airplane, but yeah. It's built out of foam then.
I just cut it all out off the router.
Fantastic.
The skins, the 3 mil skin's done on laser because the laser's just so fast.
Right.
And the 3 mil's easier on a laser. All the 6 mil stuff is done on the, and the 9 mil is done on the router. And the wings are two piece. You bond them together in the middle. I got dual cabanes with the struts, and the struts have carbon in them because I'm trying to get as much rigidity out of it as I can without having to put flying wires, because flying wires, you know, they really clutter.
I think that's one of the things I've been impressed with all of your designs is that they are stiff. And everybody thinks of foamies as being floppy, and they flop around, but they don't. The fuses you've built, especially in that one, is really, really stiff. another thing I was going to point out, and David, I don't know if you can get a shot of this, but are the control horns. This is another attribute. I'll hold it real still right there and see if you can zoom in on those.
That and the landing gear plugs.
Yes. Foamies are known for not having a place to put good gear. A lot of people like to land them right on their bellies, which is fine. That's the way I fly a lot of mine. But you've got a nice light ply plug, as you can see right in there, for the gear to hook to. And then, David, if you go back over to the control horns, maybe you can get a good shot of those.
Good shot.
Those are really nice. Awful lightweight. Put them on, put a little CA on them to stiffen it all up, and that's real cool.
Now, Paul, do you cut those on your laser cutter? Because I'm pushing an image up here, which you can't see,
yeah.
But it's being pushed. Do you cut those out on your laser
all
cutter?
All plywood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one thing I try to do. I utilize my equipment
right.
to pretty much cut everything I can to go on the plane.
Oh, outstanding. So these horns will come with these kits then?
The horns come with the kits.
Okay.
And the only thing I really don't put in the kit is the push rods, because I leave it up to the owner, because a lot of times they'll go with what's in the kit or they'll go with their own.
Right.
So I give them everything they need.
You've got some unique hinges on the the ailerons on the pits here.
That's been around quite a while, actually. I came up with an idea a long time ago. I'd seen it on the net. It's basically carbon tied in with two layers of heat shrink. That's the best way to tie them in.
Hold that real still right there, and let's let David. All right, I'm going to hold still right there. There you go. So you guys on the video, you're probably 6 or 8 seconds delayed. So I'll move it up and down. He's got a bunch of layers of heat shrink that connects the carbon rods. So that's from the bottom to the top. Again, it's very simple. It's very elegant, and it keeps everything lightweight, and you don't have to have a pile of hardware that lines everything up.
And then located on the bottom here. I have a hatch, which I'm not going to use the hatch, but I do cut the hatch out with it. It'll be a good exit hole for air to pass through for cooling, but I put my receiver in here. And then I have a magnetic hatch right here where the battery and the speed controller goes.
Hold that, let him zoom in on it. Yeah, so nice big access hole for the batteries and the controller to go in.
It'll hold probably bigger than a 2200, and I wanted a lot of room because it is a big airplane, and I'm running about a 14-inch prop on it, so.
I was going to ask that. It looks like you said about a pound or so. We put equipment in there. We'll probably be able to run a torque 900 or somewhere around there, about 380, 400 watts ought to be just ballistic on that thing.
And I really, the neat thing about this is because it's light and it has so much wing, it ought to have good low speed characteristics.
I think it'll be real nice, real, real nice.
And I want it to fly really well, slow also, so it can maneuver around, and anybody can fly it.
Now, there's a couple other designs that you have that aren't here tonight.
I have a...
An S-Bach?
I got an S-Bach, a 342
that.
S-Bach with the Thunderbolt Lightning paint scheme on it. And I have the Sukhoi. SU-26M, the one that has the yellow and the red Britling with the diamonds.
You had that last time you came.
I brought it in the last show.
Which was real nice.
And all my prototypes are on the website. Cliff here is going to be carrying them in that exact paint scheme. I designed them all in that same paint scheme. Now, on the pits, being it is a hybrid, it's really hard to print those out because you'll have white corners on your fuselage. I mean, I can print them. I mean, I haven't really decided how easy it'll be, but that was a that took me 2 weeks to paint.
Yeah, that's a real intricate paint job.
Checkerboards are a nightmare.
For these hand painted ones, what type of paints are you using? I've had people ask.
I use the Apple Barrel paint from Michael's.
You get it at a Michael's craft store or a Hobby Lobby craft store or something like that. Yeah. Very, very cool. One thing I wanted to show you that we have shown before on air show was the little Ligeti. You see it hanging on the wall here from time to time when we're doing shows back at in the tips and tricks area right where you have here. Let me let you hold that right there. Mm-hmm. And something we've got we're going to show you tonight that hasn't been shown before. You know, the small one's a little Ligeti, which is, what's the span on that one in your hand?
This one's about 36 inches, I believe.
Something we want to show you tonight for the very first time that'll be available real soon is a big one.
And in this airplane, the bigger it is, the nicer it flies.
I bet it's a lot more stable. And
you can't stall it. It won't stall.
Beautiful thing of Kennard designs is that they don't stall. The front wing will stall before the top wing will. And I'm seeing the shot that David's got right now. But
big thing is to remember on the elevators, they don't work like real elevators.
It's backwards, isn't it?
Backwards, and a lot of people forgot about it, and it has a tendency to drop quick.
I'm really looking forward to flying a big one.
And this is like a glider. I mean, this thing, you chop power on it, and it'll just stay up there for a long time.
Wow,
it's real good.
Very,
it's
very nice.
The 21 glide ratio on the real one.
Awesome. Yeah. And the real one. This comes in a full size one too. If you'd like to buy one, you can get in. I think you could probably still find them out there, which is real cool.
The good thing about the bigger one is I leave more room inside for hiding the wires, which, you know, this airplane, it really helps to hide the wires because the servos are, you know, they're in weird locations, not a normal location. And the toughest part on the plane is the CGs. So what I did is on this is actually three pieces of 9mm. The center piece of 9mm has holes, lightning holes all through it. So what you'll want to do is you'll want to put, what I did is I bonded a couple washers into one of the lightning holes up front, filled it in really good just so I would have already weight in the nose before I got the other, because believe me, it usually balances just forward of the wing. So you really got to put some nose weight on it.
Very nice.
And it's nice not to have it hanging out on the outside.
Well, the engineering that you've done on all the designs is very impressive. You'd be congratulated on that.
Thank you.
Do you just pick it up as a hobby, or I know the work you're doing for the airline.
I grew up in airplanes all my life, and then when I got into this hobby, I liked flying, but I liked building.
Yeah.
When I got into building, I liked designing. And like that Pitts, which is probably one of the largest biplane Depron kits you can get. I like uniqueness.
I'm really looking forward to the Pitts, and really looking forward to flying all of them, especially with the unique attributes they have and the ability to get the planes out of the box already painted in various good color schemes. And I'll give you guys that are listening a little bit of tip of what we're trying to do is we're actually trying to build the application where we're not trying. You'll see it probably be the first of the year, but to where you can pick one of these designs on the website and actually see the layout and touch the screen and decide which colors you want it made. So you'll be able to build your own Foamy with custom colors. And I don't think that's ever been done before in the RC industry out there. So if you imagine this airplane over Paul's right hand, over his right shoulder back there, if you wanted to change some of the colors on it to something that suited your needs, that would be very cool. So we're working towards that. In the meantime, when these hit the market, you're going to have several color schemes to choose from, and they'll be delivered to you ready to go. So pretty slick, man. You want to tell them about the Balsa kits?
Yeah. Cliff has got me really intrigued about designing Balsa kits. So what I'm working on doing now is I'm working on possibly a three-piece wing that you can break apart by earth magnets. So it's going to have like carbon pins. It'll have a center section, two outer wings, and then I'm working on possibly a molded winglet that's more like an airliner winglet that'll pop on, and then it'll all be held together with earth magnets. So you can break it down, throw it in the back seat, and you won't be having to tote around a huge wing. And earth magnets are so strong when it goes magnet to magnet that that'd be the ideal way to hold a wing together, especially when you have the pins. So
I'm looking forward to that.
That is in the works. you know, after I get you going with this stuff, then I'm going to look at starting to design the wing airfoil.
Right.
The best way to, you know, because
to put it all
like a glider wing airfoil, it's not symmetrical. It's got a flatter bottom.
It's got a flatter bottom on it.
So, you know, for lift and all that, so I'm going
to
work on
that. Well, something very unique out there these days is to be able to get an American-made RC airplane. there are a few companies out there that are doing it, and they should be very proud of it, and I think you're doing a good job with that. And if this moves along, maybe you'll start seeing some more American-made, even ARFs, and figure out how to get them closer and closer. It'll be real
cool. That would be nice.
So the million-dollar question.
Yes, sir.
When will they be available?
You're going to be able to see these in the next 30 days.
There you go.
Keep watching the Atlanta Hobby website. Obviously, pop over to the Hobby's Edge website. You'll be able to see some of the planes Paul's done. They're available there. Mm-hmm. And then if you want one that's fully painted with all the new color schemes, you'll be able to see those in the next 15 to 30 days. They'll be up on the website within the next 10 days.
Yeah.
Perfect. It's
real nice.
Yes.
And, you know, for, like, fall time and stuff, when you can't go out to a field, and a lot of these, like this big pits, will most likely fly in a gym because it's so light. And, you know, and then again, a lot of these can handle really tough wind because they're 9 mil. They fly really well in the heavier wind, you know, the heavy winds. So.
Nice.
And the Ligeti, I've personally flown this thing. I've got probably 30 flights on it. And I've flown it in some really tough winds. And this plane is really great. If you want a plane to prime yourself to get into a big one, you know, you haven't flown in a while, take this to the field with the big one, throw this up, get all primed up before you throw the big one up, because this thing is excellent.
Real nice.
It's really good.
We've shipped a lot of those kits, and I hear real, real good things about them. So, well, cool, man. Thanks for coming and sharing with us tonight. We're looking forward to the rest of them. And don't trip over that corner. Hey, before David pulls that camera back in and flips the angle, I want to show you something. Zoom in on this.
Uh-oh. I know you've got a toy.
I've got a new toy, and it's not my iPhone, so I'm watching David so he can get closer and closer. I'll go ahead and flip it up. But just today, and that's probably going to focus at some point or another.
Some year.
I'll push the logo, and we've got there our new RCRN iPhone app. It's actually running. You're not going to hear a whole bunch of anything right now, but we'll spool it up, and you'll probably hear me talking, which will be an echo. And
then you'll get double-loop feedback.
You'll go crazy and double-loop feedback and everything else. But the app is running. There's some nice functionality. You'll be able to enter our contest and things. So we're really looking forward to this. Won't be too much longer. It's operational. It works. And for droids coming out at the same time. More details to follow, but I did want to show it a little bit.
You're going to make me trade that bag phone in, aren't you?
Larry might actually have to get a...
You're going
to
make me trade the
bag phone.
And
get into something real as it comes to that. So, all right, very good. That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
And Paul's airplanes are nice.
I like them.
I'm excited about that.
They sound good.
Yeah. David, you can yank that camera back in, or Larry, you might help him over there once you push up the...
David's got it. Towards us there, David.
There you go. A little bit more left. Yeah. Anyway, hey, let's crew. You know, the primary sponsor here on RCRN is Mercury Adhesives, and each week they have a contest up on their Facebook page.
They do.
The RCRN community page, where you can model your model or post a Mercury Moments photo. And this particular week we have a winner. And
I'm going to find the Mercury Moments picture here. There it is right there. Yes, and I'll push that image.
Will you?
Yeah, it's coming.
I lost all my notes about who the picture was, though, this week.
So you're going to blame the sound guy again?
I'm
going to
show the picture. I'm going to blame the sound guy tonight. What a cool shot, though, of the rascal upside down.
Is it the Mercury Moment shortly thereafter?
No. Just a fantastic. Mercury Moments do not have to be crash pictures.
Rascals are great.
Rascals are great, actually.
I wish we could get them. You know, we need to get the SIG guys online one night.
Show. Hey,
the electric model is nice. I don't think they make the electric model anymore.
Well, you know, SIG was sold recently, and those guys have been regrouping. So, you know.
Well, we're asking our listeners, if you know anybody at SIG, get them in contact with us.
Well, no, I'm going to make contact with them because I think they're really good guys, and SIG has always had excellent airplanes.
And the 110 makes a great
electric
conversion.
The Rascal 110 is fantastic. For those of you who have those out there that are good. Anyway, a couple of more things we've got tonight before we let you all go. The Stone Mountain RC Flyers are having a night fly coming up real soon.
I like night flies.
Yep.
I might even go to that.
Speaking of which.
Airway.
Do y'all have one of those coming up this weekend?
This weekend, Sunday night.
Very, very nice.
Come one, come all.
Cal State's breaking out the old Night Flyer. He's going to go tear it up, is what he told me.
Doug Bowman from Richland, Washington, sent us a note and said they're going to have a their Labor Day extravaganza. I think a whole lot of that is going on.
There's
right
a ton
now.
Of that.
It's up in Richland, Washington, so that'll be another good event. You can find it. Go more information at mytwowings.com, and then look for the Labor Day event that's going out
Somebody says the 110 should be available in October.
Well,
flyer.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah,
and, we've been told that for 2 years now.
Well,
so
yeah,
depends on which October, but we're going to find out shortly because it's a beautiful airplane. Larry's got Fly for Tots up on the screen.
He did that.
September 16, 17, and 18, a fantastic event. Even if you can't go, you should pop over and buy some raffle tickets, some giveaway tickets for this.
Yeah.
All of the proceeds go to Victory Junction. And Victory Junction provides life-changing experiences for kids with chronic medical conditions. And last year, they raised over $20,000, I thought, which really goes a long way.
That's an outstanding organization those guys have going on there.
It's very simple. Go to flyfortots.com, and you'll be able to get your tickets. You don't have to be present. Man, they got some big prizes they're giving.
They've got a great promotional gig going on there, I'm telling you.
Electrics Over Tidewater is the 24th and 25th of September up in Newport News. More on RC groups. And, of course, Facebook, NewportNewsRC.org. Mm. And then E-Week coming up at Joe Nolan.
E-Week at Nolan?
Oh, yeah.
Is it E-Week or Hodges? Which are we going to, Hodge?
It's September.
We're still debating.
I know.
Well, you can go to both. You could go to E-Week.
I've got vacation for
on
both.
Saturday, you could leave and go down and drive to Hodges because his big event's going
on. Are we doing any sort of reporting from either of these events or what?
I don't know. With our app. Our app. We might
we could
do
it with
that.
Our app. You got we one sure of them could. Smartphone thingies, don't you?
Yeah, we can do Birdman and Seth.
You guys are crazy.
It could be.
Finally tonight, I want to ask you guys to help us grow a little bit. We had a really good crowd tonight. Saw over, looks like 1,140 at the top. One of the biggest shows. I'm telling you, Sailplane guys, that's a good group.
And foamies.
Fantastic. Two fantastic guests tonight with some cool new toys. But I would like for you to help us grow. Again, talk to our sponsors. Talk to your friends. Promote it to your local hobby shops.
And, your local hobby shops should be coming on and being our sponsors, to be quite honest, or your supporters
I would be more than happy to promote the local hobby shops out
I'm going to just give a blatant plug.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
You're
shameless.
Sound got permission tonight. You can't run your mouth.
Man, you're killing me.
Next week. Got a fantastic show for you next week. John Fox is going to join us. And if you don't know who John Fox is, you will after the show because he has got some of the coolest multi-motor contraptions you have seen in your life. If you're into quadcopters, tricopters, hexacopters, and octocopters.
I'm into gigacopters.
John has got an octocopter that we will have here in the studio going over stuff next week. It's just fantastic. You will, you'll like it. Next week.
You're not going to let me do a blatant promotion for advertising?
We need to bring that other one back. He's going to fly him in the studio.
He's going to fly him in the studio.
Yeah.
You're going to fly him.
A Cuisinart in the
studio. Finally, Nut the Squirrel tonight sent me a cryptic message.
Oh, no.
Squirrel and crossbones.
Oh. Yeah, I know too much.
Or something, and I just don't know.
He must have met my wife in her cage.
What the man was talking about. Did you say your wife's in a cage?
No, my wife and her squirrel cage.
His wife has this thing about catching squirrels.
She's got 42 squirrels now.
I think it's a new logo for Nut or something. We'll see.
All right.
Anyway, all right, guys. Thanks for joining. Paul, you and Ruth, thanks for hanging with us tonight.
Absolutely.
Cool stuff. Had a good time.
Thanks a lot.
Sound man, you did all right.
I didn't do great, but, I'm still getting used to these newfangled contraptions.
Greg had to check in on you.
He did. He called me and he said, make sure Larry pushed the right button. He's already pushed it twice. Thank you very much for calling, Greg.
Yeah.
And to Tom and to Gordon. And to David Klein, I appreciate it. Remember, guys, jump online tonight or tomorrow. Go get some raffle tickets. It's very simple. Really good odds. TeamUSAF3B.com.
Give them a contribution. They deserve
it. Absolutely. They really do. Going to be representing us real well over there. Thanks for hanging with us tonight. Y'all have a good night. We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Air Show, a weekly production of the RC Radio Network. Join the Air Show studio team each Tuesday night at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time as we discuss the latest in remote control around the world. Tell your friends and tune in for all the fun.